in him. And so here this revelation, it says here in verse 2 that John bear record of the word of God, and he bear record of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all of the things that he saw. The things that he saw. John saw the word of God, and the things that he witnessed was a testimony of the word of God. The book of the Revelation has sevens, many sevens. It's called the book of sevens. And as we study through here, we will see the many sevens that show up in the book of the Revelation. For instance, seven churches, it mentions. Seven spirits. Seven seals of judgment. Seven trumpet judgments. Seven bowl judgments. Seven thunders. Seven blessings. Seven I am statements of Jesus and more. A total of 54 sevens will show up in the book of the Revelation. So one thing that always threw me in the study of the book of the Revelation is I couldn't figure out what seven was what seven. And I go through it, and now they got seven trumpets. What's seven bowls? And the third trumpet, and the fifth trumpet, and the first bowl, and the second. Wait a second. You see? But so now I see, well, it's a book of seven. And so we'll find these sevens that'll show up. And in God's numbers, seven is the number of completion. Six is the number of man. But seven is the number of completion. Many call them evidence of divine inspiration and instruction. Seven. And so they are numbers of completion. God is going to wrap this thing up. He's going to finish this up in the book of the Revelation. It says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In other words, the time is imminent. But the book of Revelation speaks a blessing to you if you read the book of the Revelation. Number one, blessed is he that reads it, and blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy, and that keep those things which are written therein. Blessed, that means totally satisfied, that means happy. For those that read to hear, how do I explain? To hear is, it's like, with my kids, I have to go back to my kids. I could be talking to my children, and they could be doing something, and I'm not sure they're listening at all. But then I say, hey, 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 and they look up. I say, I want you to look at me. And then I tell them again, and I say, you got that? And they go, yes. Now they finally heard me. And the hearing also comes with, the hearing comes with an action comparable to what they just heard. So to hear something is to really get it. But you're going to need help from the Spirit of God to do it. When you read the book of the Revelation, and I do encourage you to read it, as crazy as some of the things appear in that book, I encourage you to read it. Because I've read it tens, 20, 30. At one time I just read it consecutively, 5, 10, 15 times straight. I read nothing but the book of Revelation. I didn't feel any smarter at the end than I did the first time I started reading it. But I read it because it's a blessing to read it. And I was able to preach from some parts of it, some parts I did get. So I was able to include them in certain messages, but I never did really get all of what it was about because it was just complicated to me. But to read it, number one, is a blessing. To hear it, to comprehend it, is another blessing. To keep it or to perform or to do the things that you find is another blessing. And it doing all of these things that are written in it, for the time is at hand. That means the time is imminent. Do you really think that you've got a long time in life? Do you really think that you've got a long time? Life is short. You remember when you were a little boy? Brother, you remember when you were a little boy? Like yesterday, wasn't it? Remember when you were a little boy? It was like it was yesterday. I think back at my childhood days when I got that beaten for playing with matches under the house. It was like yesterday. I was having a ball until I got busted. But it was just like yesterday. I'm pushing some serious years now. And it seems like it was a long time, but I can tell you life flies by. We don't have a lot of time. You've got this life and this life only for you. And then after that, eternity. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. You will? Is tomorrow promised? How do you know you do it tomorrow? The Bible says, you say if it be the Lord's will, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I won't do it tomorrow. Time is fleeting. They are burying them at 1 month. They're burying them at birth. They're burying them at 50. They're burying them at 5. They're burying them at 105. There's no set age for a person to die. And I don't want to be morbid about this, but I just want you to know this is urgent, y'all. Life, not to be uncomfortable, but life is urgent. You got to do what you're going to do when you can do it. Again, if you feel led of the Spirit to take somebody down the street of apple pie, you go bake it or buy it real quick and take it today. Don't say, well, it's kind of hot today. I'll go this sometime this week. No, you go and you do it now. Because you don't know what the situation is, except for some reason you're getting this strong urge to take this person. And I say apple pie because that's the most ridiculous thing I can think of. But it could be any number of things, you know. But you do it because time is short. And your life is really not that long. 70 years, when compared to the backdrop of eternity, is no time at all. It's not even a little blotch when you look at eternity. And eternity is timeless. And so we got a little time in eternity. So read it, hear it, do it, and be blessed. Verse 4, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. 7 spirits which are before his throne. It speaks of the sevenfold nature of the Holy Spirit. That's the only spirit that counts, actually. The sevenfold nature. And let's read about the sevenfold nature in the book of Isaiah. So turn to the book of Isaiah. And I will show you where it mentions the sevenfold nature. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Number 1, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. That's the nature of Jesus, of the 7-fold spirits. That's the first, number 1. Number 2 is the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom is the ability to make the right decisions. Jesus never said, oh, I just made a mistake. He never said, oops. He never said, well, that's not how I meant to say it. He said what he meant to say because he had that spirit on him. The spirit, number three, of understanding. That is, the ability to understand everything because the Holy Spirit is giving it. The next one is the spirit of counsel. Counsel, that's the ability to give sound advice. And I promise you, there is a strong need for sound advice in this world today. Because I could tell you, these people have gone and lost their mind around here. Some of the crazy, crazy things that people are doing. Crazy things. And it's like, oh man, it's all the rage. It's like, that's crazy what you're doing. Why are you doing that? Well, everyone else is doing it. Mom said, if everybody jumped off the cliff, you're going to jump off the cliff? You know, I sit there and scratch my head. That's a hard one, you know. Don't jump off the cliff. The spirit of might. That is the power to do what God wants. This is what the Holy Spirit gives you. The power to do what God wants. We sure enough need that aspect of the Spirit. Because God wants some things. And I was telling him just the other day, you know, some things, Lord, you want, I don't want. Are y'all that honest with him? Don't be hypocritical with God. He knows your heart. I tell him, I say, you know, it's not that I'm saying I won't do it. But I'm just kind of expressing myself, you know. Some things you want me to do, I don't want to do. But, you know, I'll do them. But it makes me real uncomfortable, some of these things. Then I go and do them, you know. But it gives you the ability to do what God wants. Then there's the spirit of knowledge, the ability to know. But this ability is to know beyond human comprehension. That is, God gives you information by His Spirit. Now that's beautiful. You know things beyond your ability to know. You didn't read it. No one told you. No one showed you. But you know. That's the Holy Spirit that we are supposed to have. To know. It's not a spirit of suspicion. When you get suspicious, then you need to back off. Because that's from your human side, you know. Get suspicious. But it's a spirit to know. It's beyond your human ability to comprehend it. And then there's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That is the ability to respect the will of God. And so those are the seven natures of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about here in the scriptures. The seven of spirit, the seven spirits which are before the throne. So back to Revelation chapter 1. So then verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in our own blood. The faithful witness. He was faithful in everything that God gave him to do. It's from the one that was faithful in everything God did. So sure not talking about me. Probably not talking about you, you know. But it's talking about there's only one that was faithful in everything God gave him to do. He was a faithful example of the very nature of the living God incarnate. An example of the living God in the flesh, in other words. God who became a man. He showed us what it is to be a man and to be faithful to God. He gave us an example of what it looks like. The firstborn from the dead. He was the first to die. He was the first to resurrect from the dead, but he was the first to never die again. That's the difference. Others were raised from the dead. We have scripture that shows that others were raised from the dead, but they had to die again. They died again. But he is the firstborn from the dead, where he died, was buried, resurrected, And now he lives, and he still lives. The prince of the kings of the earth, or the prince of the rulers of the earth. World rulers today don't even recognize that Jesus is in charge. We got some rulers that think they're in charge. We got rulers that think they are God in some parts of the world. Over there in Korea, they better worship that man or he will kill them. Or somebody will kill them and report, and they'll get a reward or something. And we got folks in the world that think that leaders that think that they are God. They don't even know that Jesus is in charge. But one day they're going to know, because he's going to physically reign on the earth one day. And one day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. That word witness is martyr. Martyr. You know what a martyr is? Yeah. It means one who gives witness by his death. He's the faithful martyr, the faithful witness. Now, Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote something. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul confessed being crucified through Christ. Well, the cross is a symbol of execution, and crucifixion and the cross are related. So he says, there is a cross in my life where I was crucified. Faithful witness is powerfully expressed through a martyr's death. And what it does is it gives witness to the life and purpose of the martyr's life. It's a powerful expression of death that gives witness to that individual's life. It's so strange in a sense that folks don't have anything good to say about you till you're dead. Then they start picking out little things that they did like. But while you're living, they can't stand you. You are no good dog. And I don't even know why anybody even bother with you. And then you die, and they go, well, you know, now that I think about it, he was a pretty okay fella. Yeah. Excuse me. He didn't do everything wrong. I remember you did help. He helped us one. Yeah, all of a sudden, they start picking out. So it's strange how people do that. You die, and they'll get up. And anybody got anything to say? You know, everybody in there got something nice to say. And the folks in the know say, she hated his guts. She shouldn't even be saying one word, cause anything. So that's it, you know. It gives a powerful witness of the martyr's life. Martyrdom is not always physical. And this is something that we need to think of. When you are martyred, it's done by someone else. They kill you. Martyrs are killed by someone else. Over there in the Middle East, the Far East, there are many Christians that are being martyred by some of the fringe other religions, and they're making them martyrs. They're killing them, but physical martyrdom is something that's done by someone else. But spiritual martyrdom has proven to be difficult to impossible for many Christians, because it calls for one to die to self. Can I get a witness? Spiritual martyrdom, it calls for you to die to yourself. It's easier for you to kill me than for me to die to myself. Right? It is. But when it says die to self, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, a cross is a symbol of execution. But it says you take up your cross, you follow me. Jesus gave us an example of martyrdom. When I first got saved, I said, Lord, I'll die for you. And I heard, I don't want you to die for me. I want you to live for me. It's easier to die for him. Go out there and do something stupid and get killed, you know. But to live for him is going to take quite an effort in your life, because you've got to die to yourself. That is a different kind of martyrdom. It's not suicide. It's spiritual martyrdom. Take up your cross. Follow me. We're in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15:45 says that he was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. And so in Christ, we are new creatures. We're not old anymore. We're different. We've been changed. We are new creatures. We live and walk in a different area in this life. I always talk about what the old man does, and I talk about the old man. That's to stop you from always blaming it on the devil. I don't want you to keep blaming it on the devil. He is to be blamed because he started this mess, but you got someone again that's closer to you than the devil. And as long as you ignore that fella, he's going to always pull the wool over your eyes. He's going to always be able to trick you. You've got to recognize your close enemy. And that's the flesh man that God, for some reason, left in place. But we are spiritual beings. In Christ, we've been changed, and we are spiritual beings. That's not what I am. The old man is not what I am. It's always going to be a war there, because he's going to keep trying to invade the territory, and the spirit man that I am is going to continue to fight him. And it's supposed to be a fight. If you're not in a battle, then you need to recheck your place in God. Because we are in a knockdown, drag-out battle for life. And particularly for your testimony. That's what that is. It's for your testimony. So that's that faithful witness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. It says that he has made us, verse 6, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Made us. We've been made kings and priests. That's what we've been made. You don't feel like a king and priest. Well, I know. Again, thank God it ain't based on your feelings. Man, thank God. Because listen, our feelings are also influenced by our environment, people, the moon, full moon. Somebody like me would be more influenced than you, because it has a pull on large bodies of water. So I'd be under greater influence, but no, I doubt that. But I think it does affect people. From working in the consumer industry, I noticed that people change during the full moon. They act stranger during the full moon. They get really nutty. And I go, and we would all say, is it a full moon? And we go, yeah, sure is. And then when it wanes or whatever, then it kind of settles down. And so that's just one of many things that affect us. We don't recognize, we don't notice that. And so we get trapped and we get caught in that. We get moody. You got a mood. You get up in the morning, you got a mood. I'm mad. Well, why are you mad? I'm just mad. Well, what happened? You were happy last night. Leave me alone. What's going on? You're in a warfare. Get up with a different mood. Y'all laughing and joking when you go to bed. Get up in the morning and get in a fight for no reason at all. Mood swing. It could be a crazy dream. I've left work and the ladies were just happy and laughing. Okay, Leroy, see you tomorrow. Okay, woo-hoo. And come back the next morning and I walk in, good morning. And all the ladies are sitting there and they look at me and say, men. All of y'all are the same. I'm like, what happened? What did I do? And so I got out of there. But the next morning, it was a whole different. In other words, people change. I mean, overnight, again. Listen, I'm not fussing or anything. I'm just throwing this out at you because the Lord has got it on me to say it. But a lot of these things, you kind of just need to have them in your mind. when you go to bed happy and wake up mad, you need to say, you need to take a moment. You say, okay, wait a second, what's going on? I wasn't sad 8 hours ago. I wasn't mad 8 hours ago. I haven't said anything to anybody, but I'm mad. Why? What's happening? Are y'all with me? Or are you going home? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, talking about us, a royal priesthood, talking about us, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that means a purchased people, meaning we belong to him, that ye should show forth, or you should publish, or you should celebrate the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which is what he's done. He has purchased us, and he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he's done for us. And we were in darkness. If we're in Christ, there was a one time we were in darkness. But this is what he's done. And then he's made us something special, a different, chosen. We are royalty. Again, I don't feel like royalty. Yeah, well, you are. Maybe you don't act like royalty, but you are. That's what this says in Revelation. He's made us kings and priests. We are royalty, y'all. You don't have to walk around, you know, with an attitude about it, but just know who you are. You are royalty. We are a royal priesthood. We are a priesthood. That means Jesus has opened up the way to the holiest to us. Hebrews says, go boldly to the throne of grace that ye might receive grace and help in time of need. That we can boldly go in, not demanding, but we don't have to be afraid to go before God for the help that we need. That is where your help is. I keep telling you, children, pray. Talk to the Lord. This is too impossible. Yeah, for you, but with God, nothing is impossible. Are y'all here? Use what he's given you. Pray. Another thing about the Bible is this. The Bible is not some mysterious set of writing that you have to sit down and figure out. The Bible is a book of instruction that tells you about who you are, what you have been made, about what God has done for you. The Bible tells you about you when you read it. It's not, wow, what's this big mystery, cosmic mystery? No, it's for you. It is a book of instruction for us. God wrote it and sent it for us, for our instruction. It tells us who we are. I was talking to a brother the other night. We were talking about patience. And so I said, I'll never ask for patience again, because I found out that patience works tribulation. And so to get patience, in that way, I'm going to get tribulation. But I said, you know what I've learned? How to be patient. Just be patient. Because it's in you. The fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering is in you. And it came in with the Spirit. We don't need to complicate it. He has given us the fruit. He has given us the spirit of patience, or the spirit of long-suffering. It's in us. We simply need to act in it, to walk in it, to move in patience. Begin to be patient. You're praying for it. Well, patience works tribulation according to Scripture, so you're praying for, Lord, give me some tribulation so I can be patient. Why? Just be patient. What about love? What? How do you learn to love? Just love. Because he's placed it in you to do. It's too easy. It's too simple. It's so simple that it's simple complex because we make it complex. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those things are in you if you're in Christ. We have them in us. It's a simple process. If your child came and said, Daddy, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you say, okay, baby, not a problem. And you get the bread and you put the jelly on and you put the peanut butter on. And then you take the sandwich and put it on top of the refrigerator and say, there it is, baby, go at it. The child is going to say, well, I can't quite eat it up there. Well, that's the sandwich, but you got to get it. Oh, come on. What kind of parent are you? You're an abusive parent. And then we're not better than God. You'll make that sandwich and you make sure that child can reach it. You put it right there within his reach. If God has done the same for us all. It is not as complicated as we've been taught that it is. It is not as mysterious as we've been taught that it is. Sometimes men take you down work ways to tell you things because they want to control you. I can't, if I get control of you, I don't know what to do with you after that. You're just another something I got to deal with, you know. I want God to have the control. I want God to have the say in your life. I commend you to him. He has given you everything needful, the Bible says, for life and godliness. It's in you. Don't that make you feel free? But I messed up. Well, praise God for messing up. Walk out of it as he strengthens you to do it. And get on with your Christian life. Get on with your Christian walk. And don't sit there crying over mistakes. Failed him. Like he didn't know you were going to do it. Oh, ignorant God. We need to put him on the prayer list for tonight, y'all. Remember to put God on the prayer list when we come. Because he's so ignorant, he don't know that you were going to mess up Tuesday. Come on, y'all. Give him a room to put him in that. He's crying and falling. Look at Peter. Remember, Peter, I'm way over here, but I'm going to keep him going to sleep. Peter said, I'll die for you. He said, no, you won't. He said, I will, too. No, you won't. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. Peter said, I'll never deny you. Peter denied 3 times. Cursed. He loved you, you know, he thought cussing was long. He thought cursing, and it was long. They left him alone. When he looked at Jesus, Jesus said, yeah, he did not get rid of him. So, I imagine that he had let Jesus down. If Peter let Jesus down, question, if Peter let Jesus down, no, he didn't let him down. Jesus already knew what Peter was going to do. He told him before they left that this is what you're going to do. Peter was weeping bitterly as though he let Jesus down. He didn't let Jesus down. He didn't let Jesus down. He was rather jealous. As they punched Jesus again, you know, rather jealous. Peter let Peter down. So when you put these things on yourself to be this and accomplish this and make this and do this for God, and then you don't do them, you're letting you down. You're not letting God down, because God already knew. When you started, he knew, oh, Susan, here you should go again. All right, Susan, now you come on. Lay it on me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Susan, you ain't going to make it, baby. You're going to do it. You ain't going to complete it. Yes, I will, Lord. I'm going this time, Lord. This time is different from the others. He's like, what's different from the others? Well, it's because I say it's different. No, it ain't different. It's the same. It's the same, Angie. It's the same, Joyce. It's the same as every time. Me too. This is freeing. Devil say, what are you doing? You let these people go. Praise God for freedom. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. He's coming with clouds. He left with clouds. In the book of Acts, he left with clouds. And if you remember there in Acts chapter 1, we'll go to Acts chapter 1. And y'all forgive me, but I believe this is going to be a teaching on the book of Revelation, but there will be many points that will be applicable to our lives that I will not neglect to take that path to go down there, because that's how the Lord does it. So just hang in there, but we are in the book. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they were ready to regain their power, because they were in bondage even then. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and received him out of their sight. Received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in right apparel, which I imagine were angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so as it says in the book of Revelation, behold, he cometh with his clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. They will wail because they crucified him and they rejected him. They will recognize that he is indeed all that he said that he is. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, which is Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That Greek word, Alpha, it means I am the beginning. It means I am the first. The Greek word Omega means I am the ending. That means I am the last. If he's the beginning and if he is the ending, then he's everything in between the beginning and the end. In other words, I am. That's what I am. I am the beginning of everything. I'm the ending of everything. And everything that's going on here, He's in. And all of these stuff that we see happen in this. Jesus is the God of the present. Jesus is the God of the past. And Jesus is the God of the future. He calls himself the Almighty. That means the all we live. That means omnipotent. Omnipotent. He is all. He is all. And he introduces himself here. And he will be the first word, really, of the word of Jesus. And he identifies himself as the beginning and the end. His love, his is, his love, and his love. So, and the beginning and he is the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, today for our first study in this. For the wisdom that you've given us today by your Spirit. I'm excited. I hope that everyone is excited about where we're headed. But this is just the first 8 verses. But Lord, I have a feeling that this dream is to take us to places after we've never been before, this part. But I also thank, Lord, that by your Spirit you are going to bless us and teach us out of this book so, so many ways. I look so forward to studying, and I look so forward to bringing, Lord, more things that you give them to us by your Spirit. Bless those that came, bless those that have read, bless those that have heard. Let those that will keep things that's written herein. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.